Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. He's Greg Pickle. This is Ask Greg. And remember, the best question, and that will be decided by Greg, the best question will win a KSN polo shirt. So you are playing for something today, guys. All right, let's get started, Greg. I'm going to start with Jim from Dallas, PA. He says, with the possibility of the football season being moved to the spring, what's the likelihood of big names like Micah Parsons and Pat Freiermuth sitting the season out to focus on the NFL draft?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's an early leader, Jim, one for one in the winning potential pile. But no, look, I mean, I think it's a very big concern. I mean, so the NFL would have to move its draft process, I think. If a college football season started in, let's say, March and ended in June, I don't see how the NFL could still hold its draft at the end of April unless it just drafted guys, based on what they knew at that point in time. But then, of course, you know, what if a guy gets hurt a week after the draft? I think there'd be too many variables for the NFL franchises to sign off on that. So, I mean, I think that is a very real possibility that guys who are the top picks might say, look, I'm not going to play March to June when then I can come out in the NFL draft and be able to go play in the NFL and make money and all that kind of stuff for a season that we would expect would start two Septembers from now or a September from now, I guess would be the way to put it. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty big concern that Penn State and a lot of other schools should be worried about at this point. I just think that that's something that no one's going to have a good answer for.
I think you hit the great point there, Greg. Everybody's going to have that same issue. It's not like Penn State alone. So we'll all be in the same boat. All right. Next up is Steve from Burnville, PA, and he lets us know that's in Berks County. Steve asks, does it create any buzz to be in a blue chip's top final list, or does it only matter who they actually pick? So if you miss out on a string of 5 and 4 stars, are you just always the bridesmaid and kids will pay no attention and fans wish they never even knew you were a finalist?
That's funny. Yeah, no, it's a fair question. No, I don't think that's true. I think that the more those things you're involved in, the more likely you are to be able to pick up more of those guys in the future. So let's look back, Jim, to maybe 2016, and Penn State was starting to get into those conversations. And, you know, you can argue, and you wouldn't be wrong, that Penn State didn't win a lot of those recruitments prior to winning the Big Ten title, but they were involved in a lot of them, even as a team that didn't that kind of caliber resume on its, or, you know, caliber experience on its resume yet. James Franklin didn't either. So then once, of course, they win that, then the familiarity with those top ranked kids. And I think the whiteout game has a lot to do with it. You know, I talked to, again, Rodney McGraw, the most recent commit, or at least most recent as of us taping this. And he said, look, that was one of the greatest experiences of my life at this point. And I really, decided to flip to Penn State in part because of how amazing that was. So I think you want to be at that table. I think it's the only way to eventually eat from that table is to be sitting at it in the first place. And it might take a while for your favorite dish to come around if you want to make a Thanksgiving-like reference. But, you have to be sitting there first for a chance to get into that, pile of stuff that you want. And for Penn State, that pile is 4 and 5-star recruits.
Just as an aside, the fact that you mentioned the whiteout and how recruits will often mention that when they make their commitment as a factor. Several weeks ago, we spoke to Dustin Schutte, who writes for Saturday Tradition, a Big Ten website, and he was talking about Penn State and its status on the national scene, and the whiteout was one of the things that he mentioned as putting Penn State in that level. It's such a large event. It puts them in the national focus. So that's something the fans could pat themselves on the back for. The fans are the ones who make the whiteout so special. All right, Next up is Don from Westlake, and Don says, "Hey guys, I am back." We have not seen from any questions from Don recently, so he announces he's back. His question is, with the four-star pocket passer now on board in the recruiting class, I'm wondering how effective he can be in an RPO scheme. To me, a quarterback that can't run in the RPO isn't a good fit. Is he wrong?
Well, I just think that, you know, this question was one that we got into in our previous segment. So if you weren't listening to the whole show, you can go find it on the KSN app and online KSN website and all that. But I mean, look, I think that he, Christian Vaiu, will run just fine. I think that whole pro style pocket passer thing is just a misnomer that the recruiting site should really consider getting rid of. Again, almost every offense in the country now has some kind of component where the quarterback can't just be a statue and sit back there and let defenses come at him and he can't move around. So I don't think it's fair to look at Christian Vaiu that way. Do I think he has some things to work on in his game? Absolutely. Do I think that one of them is a complete inability to be able to run and use the RPO to Penn State's advantage? No, I don't think so.
And again, if go out, watch his tape, and you could see he was able to move. He was able to move in the pocket and make passes. And yes, there were some designed runs for him. But he also did seem smart about it. He got out of bounds a lot after getting the first down, and so he didn't have to take a bad hit. All right, next up is Al from Woodbridge, Virginia. And he asks, Greg, you're a junior five-star in high school right now. If you had to make a choice on which college to go to, do you join a program that's already stacked with high-caliber prospects, or do you become the attraction at a program that does not have all of those highly touted prospects?
I think it depends what position I play, right? So I think if I'm in a position where it's unlikely for me to see the field for a couple of years, but I can still be a part of that championship caliber, you know, and so I guess one thing you would look at is an offensive alignment. Even the five stars on are always ready to play right away. But if you can come into a school where maybe the guy that's in front of you is expected to leave for the NFL draft in a season or two, then I think you maybe go that route, or I would go that route. I guess the question was directed to me. But, you know, if you're a five-star quarterback and you think you can go to a school that's on the cusp of a college football playoff, maybe, I don't know, like a Penn State, for example, and be the leader of what takes that team to the next level and into the football playoff conversation, then, yeah, I think that would be the obvious choice. So, you know, it probably would depend, honestly, what position you play. I think that would be the biggest factor, along with, obviously, all the other things that go into it, academics and campus life and all of that. But just in terms of where you would go, if everything was equal, I think it would depend how quickly you could get on the field and what position you played.
I think the position you play, just to your point, let's think about Justin Fields deciding to go to Georgia, where there was, what was Jake Fromm, sophomore eligibility when Justin Fields got there. And, you know, if he's looking to get on the field early at quarterback, that's not going to happen. If he were a linebacker or a running back where the position can be shared a bit, you're more likely to get on the field when you're going to one of those elite schools, Clemson or Alabama, Georgia, something like that. So that's something to be aware of. All right. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Let's go with Andy in Falls Church, Virginia. How will the sports gambling companies deal with the uncertainty of having players scratched from games because of COVID-19 testing? He says, imagine Justin Fields testing positive the morning of Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we don't know enough about how that all is going to work. Are they going to test on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? I mean, I just don't think we have those answers yet. But gambling companies will deal with it the same way that they deal with, you know, anything that's, you know, leads to an uncertainty. And what I imagine would happen is if we said, okay, on the Saturday morning of a game, we're going to swab every player at 8 a.m., and, you know, or, you know, I guess it would probably be dependent on kickoff time. So if it was noon, we're going to swab them at 5 a.m. If it was 3:30, we're going to swab them at 7 a.m. You know, I don't know. But they would probably take those games off the board overnight and until all that information came back. And could it lead to, you know, some various line movements that could leave books in bad position, sure. But, you know, the only other thing they could do, I guess, is wait until those tests are done Saturday morning and then put lines up and just not allow early week betting, which is a possible way to go about it as well. So I'm sure they'll figure it out quite well.
What do you think about, and I hadn't thought about this before, but in the NFL, in college, they don't have to announce injury information, correct? So I would assume they wouldn't have to announce COVID information. In the NFL, theoretically, they have to report injury information. Do you think the NFL might create some kind of standardization that prior to the Sunday games, we'll do testing on Friday and make announcements then?
Yes, absolutely. I think they'd almost would have to for the fairness of, you know, not just those watching and participating, but for the health of those, especially for the health of those participating as well. You know, you have to have a standard cutoff at some point. And whether that's the day of the game or the day before the game is something that the health experts will have to debate. But yeah, one way or the other, they'll have to implement something.
All right. Sticking with the gambling line of thinking here. These are people, they know who you are, Greg. Michael from Savannah, Georgia says, "Hey, Greg, with the absence of sports, I'm going to try and help you get your gambling fix. What odds would you assign to the following outcomes?" And he has three of them. One, college football playing a normal 2020 fall season. Two, Brent Pry will move on to a head coaching job after next season. And three, Penn State will take a snap under center during the remainder of the James Franklin era.
Okay, so CFB playing a normal 2020 fall season, I would set that as the no to that being the favorite and probably pretty substantial. I would say it's even money maybe at this point that there's not a normal 2020 fall season. You know, there's a part of me that says, look, we're obviously, you know, going to be able to find a way to make this work. But there's another part of me that says, if students aren't on every campus in the country, how is it going to work? Because ADs and presidents are not going to let students come back, student athletes come back, if students aren't back yet. So I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around how there's going to be uniformity here. You know, let's just use PA, for example, or New York. You know, New York is reevaluating things about reopening May 15. Pennsylvania is moving 24 counties, but not the whole state, into a yellow phase of reopening May 8. Alabama, I believe, you know, there's some SEC school states that have already reopened. So there's not going to be uniformity. I just don't see how that's going to work. Brent probably moves on after next season. I would say it's 3-1 that he does. And then PSU take a snap under center. The no there would be, my, you know, 1-9. There's no under center snap coming anytime soon.
All right. That's it for quarter number three. We'll announce our winner in quarter number four.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.